Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Life doesn't always make sense. And life doesn't always go as planned. Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, dreamed of playing professional football in the NFL. Coming out of college at the University of Miami, his goal, his dream, his desires, his hopes were to be drafted by his favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Might not be your favorite team, but it was his favorite team because they were close to his hometown. He had grown up as a fan for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was his dream. But life doesn't always go as planned. The Steelers passed him up on the draft, and instead, Jim was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. But he despised the Buffalo Bills. He didn't like that team, and that was the only team that offered him anything to or any opportunity to play professional football. He didn't want to go there, so he denied their offer, and he signed up with a new team in a new league called, the team was called Houston Gamblers, with a new alternative football league, the USFL. But that league eventually folded. When the league folded, the team folded. And when the team folded, Jim Kelly's dream of playing professional football rested on the Buffalo Bills. If he's going to ever satisfy and fulfill that dream of playing professional football, he realized, although life is not going as planned, here's an opportunity. I just can't pass it up. So he signed up with the Buffalo Bills. And even then, challenges mounted. Despite the fact that Jim Kelly led the Bills to 4 straight Super Bowl appearances. 4 years in a row, he led the Buffalo Bills to the Super Bowl, which was an NFL record, and they lost all 4 games. He not only got to play professional football, life wasn't going as planned. He was faced with many challenges, taking his team to the Super Bowl 4 straight years and losing each year. No other quarterback in NFL history has endured that level of national disappointment on such a massive stage for 4 years in a row. But the greatest challenge was not on the football field. A few years later, Jim's 8-year-old son, Hunter, was diagnosed with a rare and fatal disease, and eventually he died at the age of 8. Jim described the death of his 8-year-old son as the worst thing that ever happened in his life, worse than any football loss, worse than not fulfilling his dream of playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The loss of his son tested everything in his life. It tested his faith. It tested his marriage. It tested his career. It tested his purpose for life. Shortly after his son's death, Jim himself was diagnosed with cancer, and he beat cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer a second time, and he beat it a second time. He was diagnosed with cancer a third time. He went through brutal treatments each time that he endured this. He lost his ability to eat. He lost his ability to speak clearly. He had to undergo multiple surgeries, rounds of chemotherapy, and radiation. Yet through it all, Jim Kelly kept his faith. He later created the Hunter's Hope Foundation in memory of his son. And he has since raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for families dealing with rare diseases. His fight against cancer inspired countless others, and his legacy as a man of faith, perseverance, far outweighed his football fame. Jim Kelly's story reminds us that life rarely goes the way we plan. While your life may not have had as many challenges as Jim Kelly's life, dreams get delayed. If we take a moment and reflect upon our own life, regardless of how old we are, if we're in our early 20s, if we're in our early 90s, as we reflect upon our life, we begin to realize, you know, life just didn't go exactly as I had planned it to go. There was some deviation in our path along the way. Tragedies happen. Suffering can feel unbearable. But if we remain committed to God, if we maintain the right attitude and trust the process, God can use our greatest pain to create our greatest purpose. Similarly, we see an event play out for us in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 23. If you'll take a moment and find that in your Bible, Genesis 39, 1 through 23. And as you're looking for that address, I'd like to pray over the remaining portion of our service today. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the opportunity to minister to this great congregation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and the presence that we felt here this morning. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of people today in this congregation, those who are here, those who may be watching via online, and those who may pick up the recording at a later time. I just pray that these words would fall upon their heart and that their ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would speak to them. I pray, God, for Pastor and his family today, for Pastor and his wife, where they're taking a break, a vacation, some time for relaxing and restoration. I pray for their family, for their children, their grandchildren. God, I just ask that you would watch over them, touch them, protect them, prosper them, promote them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Genesis 39, 1 through 23. It is a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, but bear with me as I read. And I'm not going to read real fast, so you can kind of keep up with me. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph. Keep that in mind this morning. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished. I'm moving now to verse number 20. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no worries, because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Joseph was a young man with a divine dream. Most of us recall that event recorded and preserved for us by the Holy Spirit when Joseph, as a young boy, comes in one day and he tells his father and his brothers, "I had a dream," and basically the interpretation of that dream was, I'm going to rule over all of you. That didn't set well with his older brothers. He had another dream that correlated with that first dream, and basically the interpretation of that dream was the same. And this causes his brothers, his own flesh and blood, to become jealous of him and envious of him to the degree that they began to plot some way, some plan on how they could get rid of Joseph and destroy his dream. See, there are family members in your life, perhaps friends in your life, people in your life that want to destroy your dreams. You express the goal and the purpose and the desire that God has put on your heart, and the enemy wants to keep you from moving forward in God's purpose. As we began the reading of this scripture, his brothers had formulated this plan, and they sold their brother to a group that was coming through. They sold him as a slave, and he winds up as a slave. Yet in Potiphar's home as a slave, he was prosperous, he was favorable, the Lord was with him. As you follow the story, you understand and remember that Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and she tempted him to sin, and Joseph remained faithful to the Lord, and he rebuked and resisted that temptation. And again, jealousy, envy, anger is stirred up, and she accuses Joseph falsely accuses Joseph, and he's now thrown into prison. He's gone from Potiphar's home, a nice surrounding. Now he's in prison, but he didn't let the prison walls keep him from fulfilling God's plan and purpose. He still loved God. He was still faithful to God. And the scripture said the Lord was with him even in the prison, to the degree that the warden had no worries about the prison, because Joseph was in charge. I don't know what prison you may be in today. I don't know if that prison is as dark as the dungeon that Joseph found himself in. I don't know if you're bound by some dark depression, if you're bound by some dark addiction. I don't know what prison the enemy has finally chained you into and secured you so that you felt like you have no hope. You cannot break away from this. You cannot move forward. I want to assure you today, just as God was with Joseph and favored Joseph and brought Joseph to eventually fulfill his purpose, God has a purpose for you and will eventually fulfill that purpose in your life as you surrender to him. The words resonate in our text this morning, but the Lord was with Joseph. Take just a moment to yourself. Would you say that, except replace Joseph's name with your name? And throughout the day, as you feel that you can't move forward and you feel that the enemy has you so bound that you can't break from that, would you take a few moments and replace your name, Joseph's name, with your name? The Lord was with Joseph. This morning, I want to, for the remaining part of the service, unpack what it means to walk through life's trials with God's presence. The title of my sermon this morning is Living Life in God's Presence. Three or four of the songs, I don't know how many songs we sang this morning, but I would say the majority of the songs we sang during the worship time talked about the presence of the Lord. And I want you to be assured this morning, when you walk out of the doors of this church, I want you to know that you can live every day in the presence of the Lord. God's presence, God is omnipresent, which means He is with us all the time. He's always here with us. Wherever we go, He's with us. Many times we'll gather together in a setting like this with others as we're all worshiping the Lord, and we sense the presence of God in a corporate setting, but you can sense that same presence of God in your daily devotional. You can sense that same presence of God when you're faced with some challenge at work, when you're faced with situations and circumstances in life, when life hasn't gone as you planned it to go, you can still live in the presence of God. There are four things I want to briefly share with you about living life in God's presence. First of all, God's presence is always in the midst of adversity. His presence is always in the midst of adversity. Verse number 2 of Genesis 39 says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded," listen to this, "in everything he did." Joseph had been stripped of everything, his family, freedom, comfort. From his perspective at this point, it perhaps seemed like everything was going wrong, that his dream would never be fulfilled, that he had been completely stripped from God's presence. Perhaps you, like myself, at times in your life have looked heavenward and you've questioned God. "God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Why don't I feel you in my life like I felt you yesterday or last week or last month?" Sometimes we question, where is God? And perhaps Joseph had this same feeling as he was being carried away and now enslaved, sold by his brothers, as perhaps he watched them as the distance between him and his brothers grew farther and farther. Perhaps he's questioning, "God, what happened? Where are you? Can you get me out of this situation?" God's presence is always with us in adversity. God's presence never depends upon our location. Even when Joseph finds himself in Potiphar's home and he begins to follow the tasks that are assigned to him, he begins to recognize the Lord was with him. You see, when we're paying attention to what's going on around us, we can recognize the Lord's presence in our life. We begin to see the various blessings that are happening in our life. We began to see the favor of God upon our life. And it wasn't long until Joseph was overseeing the household of Potiphar. Psalm 139, 7 through 10, the psalmist writes, and he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." The psalmist here in this passage of scripture is reflecting upon the truth that God's presence will never leave us, that God will never leave us, He will never forsake us, and His presence is not dependent upon our location. Isaiah 43 and 2, the writer says, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." He's reflecting upon what God has assured him. Listen, my friend, whatever you may be going through today, God is with you. In the midst of his adversity, not only did God remain with Joseph, but before we move a little further, I would like for you to consider Joseph remained with God. When his brothers betrayed him, he remained committed to God. When he became a slave, he remained committed to God. When Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, he remained committed to God. When he was a prisoner in the dungeon, he remained committed to God. See, a diamond is formed when carbon is put under intense heat and pressure. And without that intense heat and pressure, it just remains carbon. But with that intense heat and pressure, it is formed into a diamond. So during the time that you may be going through that intense heat and pressure in your life, remember, God is working to make you shine like a diamond. He's working to strengthen you, to prepare you for the purpose that He has in your life. God never promised we wouldn't face trials. He promised he never promised we wouldn't face adversity and difficulties, but He did promise that we wouldn't face them alone. And when we dwell in God's presence, when we live in God's presence, joy, success, favor follows every step that we take. Now, sometimes we look at success as being at the top in society. But I would like for you to consider today that Joseph was successful even while enslaved in Potiphar's home. That Joseph was successful even while a prisoner in the dungeons. Why? Because God was with him. Amen. The second thing I'd like for you to consider is that God's presence produces favor in our life. Genesis 39, 3 and 6 tells us that Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. I believe the time this morning when the BGMC offering was received, I forget what her name was. Is that the children's pastor that leads the children's ministry? She made a comment about the giving and how the kids watch you. Not do just your children watch you, your neighbors watch you, and I don't mean that in a bad sense. Your fellow employees and people you work with are watching you. They're observing the things that you do. They observe your behavior and how you respond. And they're always checking to see if your behavior and your attitude is consistent with your Christian testimony. We're all human. We're going to make mistakes. Something's going to happen, and we may respond in a way that is not always what someone would identify as Christ-like. And we can ask God to forgive us of that and set us on the path again. But what we've done, those who are watching us, we've already damaged that. Can God repair it? Sure He can. They can see us as we come back and see how transparent we are. And they can see things in our life. People watch us and they can observe God's favor upon our life. And Potiphar observed this in Joseph. Joseph didn't have position. He didn't have power. He didn't have privilege. But he did have the presence of God. You see, his integrity and his work, his behavior, his attitude reflected God. Proverbs 3:3-4 says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." John was a junior in high school. He wanted a job. He had some plans. He wanted to buy him a pickup truck, and his parents couldn't buy it for him. He wanted to get him a job. So there were a couple of grocery stores in the town that John lived in, and he went to one of those grocery stores. The first one he went to, they hired him. He was excited that he had got a job. They told him what he would have to do. They gave him his job description, and John went right to work. It was a delight for him to work in that grocery store. And when they would task him with fronting the grocery aisles, he would front those groceries, and man, he done the best job he could do. And when he was finished, it was like nobody wanted to walk down that aisle and mess up the art that John had created. He was that good. People commented about how good he was at that task. When they would call for a sacker to come to the front to sack groceries, some of y'all may not know what that means anymore, but especially if you use a self-checkout line all the time, you're everything but the stocker at that store, right? You select your groceries, you check them out, you sack them, you carry them out yourself. But back in the day, John would sack the groceries up, and he would talk to the customer, and he would have a smile on his face. He would engage them. He would delightfully walk out to their vehicle as he carried their groceries out, and as he closed the trunk or the door of their car to go back in the store, he would rush back in ready to complete his task. One day, the owner of the competing grocery store walked into that grocery store because he kept hearing people talking about how exciting things were over at this grocery store where John worked. Before John started working there, there was not a whole lot of talk about excitement at the grocery store, but the customers began to enjoy John. They began to enjoy coming in just so John could sack their groceries. They sometimes would even request John to sack their groceries. He took care to put the bread in its own sack and nothing else in it. He put the eggs in its own sack and nothing else in it. He wouldn't set the bread or the eggs in the trunk of the vehicle or in the back seat. He'd make sure that the person who came to purchase those items securely put them somewhere in the front of the car so they could keep an eye on them on the way home to their destination on the shelf or the refrigerator. The manager of the other store come in. He's curious, what's going on? And he observes John as he's fronting the grocery aisles, as he's got a smile on his face, a bounce in his step. He's whistling and enjoying his work. He observes John as he is engaging with the customers. And as the owner of this competing grocery store walks out, he goes over to the manager of that grocery store and he says, "Sir, you know, if you're not careful, somebody's going to take that young man away from you and give him a better job." And all the manager had come to rely upon John so well. And he said, that's not going to happen. He said, "Who do you think would have him?" And the owner of the store said, "Well, I'm about to make him the offer of his life. I'm going to take him." You see, when we work with diligence and delight and excitement and live our lives with an attitude that God wants us to live with, people are watching us and they're waiting for the opportunity that we can share with them or that they can live the life that we're living. Sometimes they may even ask, "What is wrong with you? What is it that you have? I want what you have." You see, this is what Potiphar observed in Joseph. Joseph understood that in order to keep God's favor in his life, he needed to trust God. When we trust God and trust Him in every situation, regardless of the circumstance, it not only keeps us in tune and connected with God, it allows God's favor to flow through us. You see, Joseph needed to trust God because trusting God requires the proper attitude. He needed to please God because pleasing God requires the proper attitude. He needed to wait on God. Because guess what? Waiting on God requires the proper attitude. But what was Joseph's proper attitude? He didn't complain. We never hear any complaints from Joseph. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize. He didn't grumble. He kept his work in perspective. He became the best he could become wherever he was at. He didn't worry. He didn't fear. He sought to please God. I ask you today, what is your attitude? What is your attitude when life isn't going as planned? You know, when life isn't going as planned, it's easy for us to become contemptuous, bitter, hateful, grumpy when life isn't going our way. Friend, I want to propose to you this morning, if life has not gone your way to this point, there's nothing you can do to go back and undo it. Let God set another path for you. Put your faith, your trust in God to steer you in a different direction and begin to trust Him to fulfill that purpose in your life. The third thing about living life in God's presence is that God's presence is always there in unjust circumstances. Life may not always go the way you planned it, but in some people's life, there seems to be situations that just don't make sense. It just seems unjust that this happened in their life, but God is there. Genesis 39, 20 and 21, "So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison." There was no trial. Joseph didn't have an opportunity to put on a defense. Joseph was just thrown into prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Even in that unjust circumstance, the Lord was with him. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're all going to face some persecution in life. May not be to the degree that it would be in some third world country or some communist country or socialist country that where Christians are persecuted more than they are here in the United States. But we may face some persecution. We may face some discrimination because of our faith in Christ. The Bible says that if we put our faith and trust in Him, that's going to happen. Life may be going exactly as you had planned it in your life. Every step that you took, maybe it was exactly the step you wanted to take, and nothing has gone wrong in your life, then we applaud you and we commend you and we celebrate with you. However, that's not always the case. Most of us, if not all of us, there's some deviation, some detour in life that we have to take that it may take us longer to get where God wants us to be, but there's those trying times and those unjust times. It's not fair, God, that this happens. It's not fair that I didn't get a chance to defend myself. It's not fair that I've had to throw all my dreams away. It's not fair that I've been diagnosed with this disease. It's not fair that this has happened to my children. It's not fair that this is happening to my job. It's not fair, God. But in all of those questions of fairness, I want you to be reminded this morning that God's presence is there. He's with you in those unjust circumstances. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Many times Romans 8:28 is misunderstood. It's misstated. A lot of times, here's where we take Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, and we stop right there. But we have to look at it in the context in which the Holy Spirit admonished Paul to write it. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And the passage of Scripture that talks about loving God is not just those who would stand with their hand over their heart and say, I love you, God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So to love God takes some action. I can't just say I love God. If I love him, I'm going to obey him. If I love him, I'm going to keep his commandments. So I think it would be fair to say, I think we would be safe this morning to read Romans 8:28 in this fashion, and we know that all things work together for good to those who keep his commandments because they love God. You see, when we understand that all things work together for good to those that love him in those unjust times, something is going to come from this that will bring God glory and honor. 1 Peter 4:12-14, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. But he goes on to say, rejoice. And you know, I think, this is my opinion, but I think that Joseph, when he was sold by his brothers, maybe he thought for a moment they're just playing a prank on him. But as the distance grew between him and his brothers, and they weren't coming to rescue him, and this band of Ishmaelites weren't stopping and turning around to take him back, and he realized, this is a done deal. I believe before he got to Potiphar's home, somewhere in his spirit, he was still rejoicing because he knew God was with him. And as he seen and began to observe as things happened in his life and he experienced the favor of God in Potiphar's home, he was rejoicing. When he was thrown in the prison, I believe he was still in his spirit rejoicing. because you just can't quiet the joy of the Lord in your heart. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I believe Joseph was relying upon that. And I encourage you to rely upon that. A GPS doesn't abandon you when you take the wrong turn. When I take the wrong turn, I want to abandon the GPS. Recalculating, and it'll give you another direction. And when you pass that one by or you miss that one, recalculating. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives when we take the wrong step. Except the Holy Spirit is not quite as aggravating as that GPS recalculating. The Holy Spirit, God, in such a loving and kind and gentle and compassionate way, just begins to nudge us in the right direction until we get back on that right path. You see, there are unjust circumstances that we may face in life, but God is there in all of that. And I ask you this morning, have you been falsely accused by someone? May not have been to the degree of a criminal act, but maybe someone at work's accused you of something. Someone in your family accused you. You've been falsely accused. You've been betrayed. You've been hurt by those you trusted. I want you to remember this morning, the presence of God does not mean the absence of suffering, but it does mean the presence of His sustaining grace during that suffering. So I encourage you, stay faithful. Don't compromise. Don't give up. God sees, and He will vindicate in His time. And last of all, God's presence turns prisons into platforms. God's presence turns prisons into platforms. Genesis 39, 22, and 23, the warden put Joseph in charge. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. The same favor Joseph had in Potiphar's house followed him into the prison. Location doesn't limit God's promotion. Let me say that again. Location doesn't limit God's promotion. Whether Joseph, whether Joseph was in a pit, a palace, or prison, God's purpose was moving forward. And that same presence of God that was with Joseph in Potiphar's house and in the prison eventually moved him to the second person in command over all of Egypt. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." Genesis 50 and 20, when Joseph's brothers have come to him, and because those of you who are familiar with the story, there was a famine. Joseph is the second person in charge of Egypt. Remember, he was raised to that platform when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream that there would be seven bad years and seven good years, and he was put in charge over that. His brothers now are, during this famine, they're sent by their father to Egypt to get some food. And guess what? Here is the full production of Joseph's dream being played out. The best production that anyone could imagine. The stage is set. The actors are set. Everything is as exactly as God had put in Joseph's heart some 30 years prior to that. And now his brothers are there bowing before him. Joseph identifies himself. His brothers are weeping. And this is what Joseph says in Genesis 50 and 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Friend, when you walk in God's presence, those things that the enemy may intend for harm, God will turn around and intend it for good. He'll turn prisons into platforms. He'll turn hardships into opportunities. If you'll be committed to Him and faithful to Him. And as James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Friend, when you stay faithful to God, His presence, as you're living in His presence, He will turn those prisons in your life into platforms for His purpose and for His glory. Your current hardship is not the end of your story. Your current circumstance is not the end. God hasn't written you off. He still has a plan for your life. He still has a purpose for your life. In conclusion, I want to take the comments that I've shared with you this morning, and real briefly, I want to point out four life principles from what we have heard. First of all, God's presence is constant in your life. Faithfulness brings favor. Setbacks are only setups. And trust God to fulfill His purpose and His process. He's got it all under control. Living life in God's presence. When God is with you, no circumstances can hold you back. No lie can stop you. No prison can prevent God from fulfilling His purpose in your life.